Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish Coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like?
How many of these so-called great salespeople have you hired? I mean, great track record. They did it elsewhere, strong resume, but they failed in your company.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe in great salespeople, then you also have to subscribe to one of two of the following. Either they showed up on your doorstep and completely forgot how to sell, or your company is the worst company in the history of business to sell for. Which is it?
Ooh.
Which is it, right?
I'll take door number one.
There you go. There you go.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sell or Die, the preeminent sales and personal development podcast on the planet. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling and the Sales Manifesto.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the show. We are glad you are here. Coming up today, we have an amazing guest.
Yes.
It is Lee Sauls himself, CEO. I love Lee Sauls. Of the sales architects.
He actually has insight for salespeople and sales leaders. So I'm going to challenge you with something. Please make us your only distraction. Please make other people fall off your cell phone. You don't need a text. You don't need a beep. You don't need to know your Facebook notifications. You need sell or die because you need the money. And if you have the money, you can buy 5 smartphones and put them all on automatic.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, to be fair, they need to subscribe so that the only notification that they get is when that new Sell or Die episode comes out.
Make sure you are subscribed.
Subscribe and notify. See, a lot of people subscribe, but they turn off notifications.
That's a shame.
That's not good.
Mm. So today, Lee's going to teach you how to differentiate your business online. And he talks about how to create the right amount of disruption for you to differentiate yourself more.
I'm going to let you in for a secret. He's actually pretty good.
He's really smart. Yeah. I loved what he had to say.
Besides, you guys are going to see him at Outbound.
That's right. Atlanta. That's right. If you don't have your tickets yet, make sure you go to the Outbound conference and use Jeffrey's code, which is?
I think it's King of Sales.
I think it's Gittimer 100 or use mine in any minute 100 and you will save $100.
Yeah, that's it.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. We have a 5-star review, Nada. Who's up today?
Yes, we do. Sales Babe. Right. I listen every single week because of the education and entertainment that Sell or Die gives me. #SellOrDie Sell or Die loyal fan forever.
Whoa, Sales Babe, way to go. Cool. We love you, Sales Babe.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for being a Sales Babe.
That's right.
A lot of chicks get upset when someone calls them Sales Babe.
So before we get to the episode, what's going on with you, Jeffrey?
Well, we are knee deep. I just recorded the 5 greatest sales I ever made. It was fun. It was exceptionally nostalgic because I hadn't thought of them until I was challenged to think of them at our retreat. I had about a dozen that I put in there, and we narrowed it down to 5. But one of them was when I printed the Alfred E. Newman shirt for Mad Magazine and still had the shirt. So there's a contextual proof that the story.
Oh, no, I've seen it. I've seen the shirt. The shirt is awesome. The shirt is vintage.
Unbelievable.
And if we're really going to be honest about this, Jeffrey has a lot of shirts that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That's probably true. But this one, the label in the shirt is BVD.
I haven't seen one of those shirts.
It's a long time ago.
I was like 5.
I bought BVD was one of our suppliers. There was another brand that they went under, but BVD was like their inexpensive T-shirt brand. They were on the 60th floor of the Empire State Building, and I would go up to make a purchase of shirts, and you could open up the window in the Empire State Building and just jump right out.
Oh, my goodness.
There was no screen, there was no protection, no nothing. That's why they have that net there. If you ever look at the Empire State Building, one or two people a year jump out of the out of those windows.
Yeah, yeah. That this podcast has taken a dark turn already.
Wow.
There's always somebody who wants to make a hit on Broadway.
But ching.
Okay, so.
All right, so you're filming the five greatest sales.
And it's not really Broadway, it's Fifth Avenue.
And you guys will be able to get access to those and learn from them for free.
They're really good, by the way.
I think we're looking at like the end of April, beginning of May when we're going to release it. It is going to be freaking major.
So if you're listening to this and it's already June, you might want to go back and take a look.
If it's already June and you haven't already watched it, then you're about...
What the heck are you thinking?
Exactly. What the heck are you thinking? As someone that has watched this and seen Jeffrey film these are awesome stories that will help you make money.
Yeah.
And, well, if Nada the Great says it, then it's true.
And I would tell you this. When you relive sales that were difficult to make at the time, you realize... What went into each sale? What was the creativity? What was the moxie? All the elements that made this that made these sales happen, and the game plan to make the sale. It's insight you're not going to want to miss. It's not just the story; it's what's behind the story, and that's where the essence of this of the value of this lies.
So I have something going on.
Go for
it,
the babe.
Past couple of weeks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mrs. Bates.
Not Mrs. yet. Okay. Not quite yet. So for the past couple of weeks, I have been serving a group of people, founding members in the Cashflow to CEO membership site. And this past session was one of my favorites. We went in depth about beliefs and the beliefs you need to have to be successful, and then limiting beliefs and how they can limit you, what they are, your limiting beliefs, that kind of thing. It was one of my favorite sessions. But soon I will be unveiling access to Cashflow to CEO so that you can get, it's not open right now for membership, it's you can wait list right now, but soon I will be unveiling access, membership access, where you can get all of these lessons and more. And Jeffrey, if I may say so myself, they're freaking phenomenal.
You should say so.
Well, you should say so yourself. Yeah, I'm very, do we have applause? Hold on,
Let's see. No, Doug didn't program that in.
All right. All it's right. Doug's cool. fault. Thank you. No, they're really, really good, and they're helping people, and the comments in the Facebook group are amazing, and cool. I just love the community that we're building in there. So I'm really excited to soon be opening it up, and diehards, we will let you know when.
And also, now.
Yes, Nada. Also.
We have Jen's networking course that we are also filming at the same time. That, again, I have had the privilege to see some of the footage. I've had privilege to be on set. If you have a hard time networking, I can promise you that it's going to be worth your while.
She's damn good.
Thank you, guys. I have to say, as a team, we have so much going on, and we are accomplishing and creating so much. It's a really exciting time to be here right now.
So now, let's get to Leesols.
Let's do it.
Who grew up a company from $19 million to over $60 million in 3 years, and believe that it's about hiring the right salespeople for the position. Not the great ones, the amazing ones. The ones that can actually get the job done. Please, take a listen to the great Leesols.
Leesols is the founder and CEO of The Sales Architects. He helps hundreds of companies in various industries and sizes create marketplace disruption, leading to explosive, profitable growth. When he's not helping those in sales, he's writing about it, having co-authored a book with one of our Seller Diehards faves, Jeb Blunt. And now he makes his Seller Die debut. Diehards, say hello to Lee.
Hey, Lee. Tell me about your definition of disruption.
Well, I'm in Minnesota, so the weather was disrupted last week when we were wind chills near minus 60.
It just pains me to think about. Did you go outside or like were you required to stay inside?
Well, there was no school for 4 days next week, which is unheard of.
Wow.
4 days last week. Yeah.
Wow.
Just because it's cold out.
Do the supermarkets close?
Most businesses did stay open, although finally Thursday night, a lot of them started closing like around 7. Best Buy and the pet store, restaurants and stuff, they started closing earlier. Oh. It was. I had to put gas in my wife's car. And this is when I was really missing New Jersey because, you know, in New Jersey, it's illegal to pump your own gas.
I right. know. I didn't learn how to pump gas until I was in college.
We know.
Yeah. So I was missing it at that moment as the wind is howling and, you know, you go up to the gas pump, right? And it says, enter your zip code. Okay. Would you like a car wash? At that point, the wind chill was minus 40. I don't want a car wash. I'm not a member of your rewards program. Just give me the gas.
That's funny.
Oh, man. If it were me, there would be expletives in there, just saying.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, when you give a talk, are you PG-13 or are you G?
We'll say PG.
Yeah. You know, we're E on this podcast, so you can be whatever you want.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so.
We're from Exit. I'm from Exit 4, personally, but people will say, oh, you're from New Jersey. What exit? And I go, Exit 1.
Oh, boy.
I love it.
So when I first got into sales, you don't know this, but your stuff is some of the first stuff that I read and followed and learned from.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
thank you.
That tells you how old you are, Lee. There you go.
Kidding.
Yeah. Back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. Back in the 40s.
So, no, I'm not that old.
Oh,
wait. Let me put my teeth in. Hang on.
So I want to know, how did you get into sales? Like, where did this come from for you?
So I was in the fitness industry. When I was in college, I was managing a gym, and then I got recruited to manage a chain of health clubs in Syracuse, New York. And from there, I got recruited by Bally's, and I was the youngest executive in Bally's heading up there.
You were the youngest executive ever to threaten people with their life if they tried to break their contract.
Oh, my gosh. No, I was on corporate sales. We were selling wellness programs, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember I had a conversation with their head of human resources, and he said, not a day goes by that he isn't served. That's how often they were getting sued.
Wow.
Yeah, they were on their deathbed when they instituted the policy of no broken contracts.
Oh, yeah.
And they were harsh about it.
But anyway, so you were working there.
Yep. Okay. So I get recruited by Bally and I'm in my early 20s and I'm making $50,000, which, you know, early 20s, that's great money.
Yeah.
And realized I was at the top of the food chain.
Mm.
And I said, okay, this fitness thing is a nice hobby and something I still do today, sir.
And next.
Yeah. Yeah, next. So I wound up in the technology industry and I love sales. So coming out of college, what happened was there was a member from that gym I was managing in college. He said, I just gave a bunch of money to some muscle heads up in Syracuse. They own a bunch of clubs. They have no idea what they're doing. They need your help. So imagine this, right out of college, I'm handed the keys to these four clubs and negotiate our PR deals and our marketing deals, radio contracts. You write the promotions. So imagine this. I put together an after the holidays promotion with Santa Claus. Jewish Santa here. I'm in a full Santa suit. There's video of this. I'll have to bring it to Outbound.
We'll okay, please do.
Yeah. Famous Jewish Santa Clauses are a very thin book.
Yeah, it's very thin. So I'm in the full, you know, all the puffiness and stuff and working out. And then at the end of the commercial, I take all the puffiness out and I said, you know, I just got healthy at Champions Pure Fitness, which was the name of the health club chain.
That's totally cool.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And Philly, we were booing Santa Claus.
Booing?
Yeah, but only at Eagles games.
That's right. You're an Eagles fan. I'm a Giants fan. I have nothing to root for.
Correct. Well, you did suck this year.
How'd you really think we did?
you have the best two players in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you can't win a ballgame.
Not an episode goes by where we don't talk about football.
Exactly. What's your point?
Yeah. Well, we are on to Super Bowl's over. Yeah. It's baseball season. I don't care if it's snowing here. It's baseball season.
That's right.
That's it.
Right.
That's funny. So the Yankees are going to try to buy another pennant.
They don't buy pennants anymore. George is dead. Now we don't spend any money.
We're God's team.
You're going to get Harper.
I don't want Harper and I don't want Machado. They're not team players.
Oh, what's your point? A-Rod was a great team player. He was one of my favorite team players of all time.
Yeah, I still blame Aaron Boone for that. You know, he's managing the team, but, you know, he's the reason why we got A-Rod. You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that, actually.
Yeah, Aaron Boone had a provisionist contract that said he was prohibited from playing pickup basketball in the offseason. And son of a gun, he played, got hurt, couldn't play, and the Yankees turned around and traded for A-Rod.
Yep, and they got him. If you know the Boone family, Ray Boone, the dad.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I have the autographed baseball with all of them. But Bob Boone, the Philly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
Was backed up by Pete Rose in the World Series, and Pete Rose won the World Series for Philadelphia just by backing up the catcher.
Yeah.
And in sales, that is a message for diehards that you take your manager out with you on a sales call, and you're scared to death that he's going to, quote, critique you instead of having a pre-meeting to figure out how you can win the customer.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
I'd like to have a quarter for every sales manager that goes out to a sales call and has no game plan before they walk in the call.
So along those lines, I mentioned Bally's. So I had been working on this huge deal that no one believed was real. It was worth probably $6.5 million a year to Bally's at the time. And I had my boss and the CEO of Bally's at the time, Mike Lucci Sr. I don't know if you remember that name, the big mm-hmm. football player.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we're sitting on a plane and I'm turning and I'm saying, okay, Dave, you're going to say this. Mike, you're going to say, and he has these eyes. He's not looking at you. He's looking through you.
Yeah.
And I'm a 20 something year old kid and I'm telling them this is what you're going to do in this meeting and laying the whole plan out so it went as we expected. But you're right. Salespeople don't do that enough.
Wait, so how'd it go? Thumbs up.
So
cool.
The challenge, you're an expert sales manager. You're an expert, and I don't like to call them managers. I like to call them leaders mm-hmm. because no one wants to be managed. Everyone wants to be led or is possible to be led.
I actually break the two. It's management and leadership. I say management's job is to build the sales framework, but the leader side inspires the salespeople to want to follow the framework mm-hmm. that they built.
Yeah,
I have said, manage yourself, lead others.
Oh, that's good. I like
you can
that.
Steal. Yeah. You can use that in Outbound. Just give me credit.
All right.
Credit? What's credit?
Yeah, I've heard of it. So you wanted to ask me something and I really interrupted
you. No, that's okay. Okay, so before we started this formal part of the interview, we were talking offline and you were saying you moved to Minnesota and grew a company from how much? What were they at?
We were supposed to go from 19 to 26 million, and I took them from 19 to just under 60 in 3 years.
Damn. Wow. How on earth did you do that? That's amazing.
I had an outstanding sales team.
You coached an outstanding sales
how
team.
How did you figure out who to hire? What are some of your hiring criteria? And then how did you lead them? Because that wasn't just like magic. We had great people. Okay, tell us more.
So a book that we're not really talking about today is Hire Right, Hire Profits, which was a book I wrote before Sales Differentiation, and I lay out this hiring strategy. I don't believe that there's this entity called great salespeople. And I love challenging executives with that. They're like, what do you mean to know such thing? I said, okay, I can prove it. How many of these so-called great salespeople have you hired? I mean, great track record. They did it elsewhere, strong resume, but they failed in your company.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe in great salespeople, then you also have to subscribe to one of two of the following. Either they showed up on your doorstep and completely forgot how to sell, or your company is the worst company in the history of business to sell for. Which is it?
Ooh.
Which is it? Right?
I'll take door number one.
There you go. You know, my point is that the word great is misplaced. We're looking for the right salespeople who can be great in this specific sales role. Mm-hmm. I mean, you both know every sales role in every company is different. Even within the same industry, the factors that lead to people being successful or fail is different in every company. So we have to identify what those factors are, put together a performance factor portfolio, I call it. This is the benchmark that we say for this role, we know what it takes to be successful. And then you evaluate candidates against that profile.
Exactly. Yeah. Perfect. You know,
that's cool.
I wrote a column and I'm writing a book called From Shit to Great Because You're Not That Good.
Oh man.
As only you can.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
The bottom line is it presupposes that you're good.
Right.
And and so damn few people are.
I'm sneezing on the truth here.
It's pathetic. There are very few really good salespeople. There are salespeople that try hard, but most salespeople fail. And they fail because they don't believe in their company, they don't believe in their product, or they get poor training, or all three, or their leadership sucks.
Well, and I'll give you another one, and this relates to what we're going to talk about today with sales differentiation, is they're brought in and they're told, just go sell the value.
What value is it?
Tell me.
All right, so let's talk about sales differentiation.
I'm going to give a thing at Outbound. I'm going to give the secret of value, but I'm not going to tell anybody. I want them to go to the seminar.
This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it.
I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
So you have the right people. You have great products. How do you create disruption and differentiation?
Yeah, so disruption I define as helping people to think differently about the solutions they have or could have.
Okay.
All right, so I'll give you an example. Are you familiar with the company Dude Wipes?
No. What the hell is that?
They were on Shark Tank, and if your mind is going in a place, you're probably in the right neighborhood. So these guys, and there was an article in Men's Health magazine about this, these guys are trying to disrupt an age-old industry of toilet paper. So they're just going after men. That's their market. You're looking it up?
Dude wipes? Of course I'm looking it up.
Yeah, Dude Wipes. And
I love that.
So they're selling these wipes that are significantly more expensive than toilet paper. And get ready for this question. This is what was in Men's Health magazine. He said, if you got chocolate on your arm, would you wipe it off with a dry paper towel and feel clean?
Nope.
No.
Think about that. Well, think about the metaphor.
Wait.
Got it.
Chocolate? I got it.
Yeah. I mean, that's getting people.
It's a brilliant metaphor.
It's absolutely.
And
brilliant.
Scott Paper hates their guts. But keep in mind that there are products right now that the companies that made the toilet paper, the Charmins and the whatevers, they all have wet wipes.
They are. And they've got to keep adding innovation to it so that they do stay in.
They also have the Dude Shower, Dude Face Wipes, and Dude Powder.
They're building a brand around Dude.
Holy shit. This is incredible.
When you said holy shit, Jen, what did you really mean relative to this product?
Exactly. That's funny. That's totally funny.
I wish I could say that was intentional. But
So the challenge for these people, they have created market disruption. I totally agree with you. They have disruption.
Have you heard of these things?
No.
Oh, okay. Are you going to try them now?
Not enough disruption yet. But here's
they're not in the supermarket.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Apparently they are. They're taking over the aisles.
They're not in Publix.
Are you looking for them?
No.
You're going to notice them everywhere now.
I go to the kids aisle. That's where.
But they're with the toilet paper, which we have on auto delivery from Amazon.
Yeah.
Nice. But let me come back Everyone's to
us. Wait a second.
Who wants to shop for toilet paper? Come on.
Do you have auto delivery from Amazon?
Not for that, no. But, you know what I have auto delivery for? Mio. You know what Mio is? The stuff you squirt in the water? Black cherry flavored with caffeine in it.
Wow.
M-E-O?
Nope, M-I-O. There's no sugar in it, and you squirt it into your water, and it gives it flavor. And there's a delicious sweet tea version, and there's a black cherry. I'm not a coffee drinker, and there's caffeine in it. You put a little squirt in your water, and you're off and running.
It says, squeeze more into life.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Mio, let Mio motivate you with caffeine, B vitamins, and electrolytes.
Now, when you said squeeze more into life, are we talking about Charmin or are we talking
about...
Yeah,
exactly. All right, so back to disruption here.
Yeah, so there is a disservice that sales managers, executives are they're telling their salespeople the wrong thing. You know what they've been telling them? And you've heard this.
What? Tell us.
You have educated buyers. There's this new fad called the internet, and we're telling salespeople you have educated buyers. And there's a question I've been asking for years as I give my talks all across the country, up north in Canada, wherever it might be. And the question is this: who knows more about the world of potential solutions in your industry, you or the people you sell to? Not one salesperson has ever raised their hand and said, oh, the people I sell to know much more than I do about the world of potential solutions in my industry.
Bullshit.
You don't buy it?
Huh? Here's the deal. If you go to buy a car, you walk in with exactly what you want. And the car sales guy is still smoking a cigarette and drinking coffee and using the word today to qualify the guy.
Right. Shame on him for doing that, because there's a lot that he knows that may not be on the internet relative to car choices.
Yep.
So we know it. Now, what you're saying is you got a lazy salesperson there.
Correct.
But we as salespeople, and I believe that we have an obligation if we're in sales to help people make an informed buying decision. And with that gives us the opportunity to shape buyer decision criteria.
Unless the product you're selling is inferior to your competitor.
Well, if you feel it's inferior, you probably shouldn't sell it.
But they do anyway.
I'll tell you. I had an interesting conversation with my wife the other day. I said, would you rather go to a restaurant that has outstanding food and mediocre service, or one that has pretty good food and outstanding service? What do you think she said?
Service.
Right? So it's more than just the product.
Correct.
It's the experience.
It's the overall experience. That's exactly right. So we use this expression, account management, and we use it to mean this nebulous thing. Maybe it's customer service. It's just a thing we kind of do. And I argue that customer service and account management are two very distinct functions that a company has.
I agree.
Right? Customer service is anytime your client comes to you and says, I need something.
Mm-hmm. Or I want something.
Right. And the measurement is accuracy and timeliness to the response.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Account management is the proactive set of things that you do to provide value in the relationship beyond the features and functions of your product. Mm-hmm. And I find most companies, all they do is say, hey, we're going to look at revenue. We're going to rank our clients A, B, and C. Now what?
Yeah, well, no, we're going to, you forgot one thing. We're going to increase our sales this year by 11.5%.
Oh, you're easy, man. Yeah, 20%.
Well, whatever it is, they pull the number out of their ass.
Right.
That's true. That's true.
And then you're given a goal to achieve the other guy's goal.
Yeah, so I get to be the one. I do this a lot in companies. I reverse engineer the number. And then so I say, okay, so this is the growth you want. And we look at, okay, what's your average sales size and down to how many in-person meetings need to occur. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, I come back to them and I go, it is humanly impossible to have this number of face-to-face meetings in this window of time, given the sales resources you have. So start hiring or back off the number, because it's never going to happen.
I love that.
And what happens when you do that?
You know what? Every single time, batting 1,000 on this, the executives lean back in their chair and they go, no one's ever taken me through this. We just keep missing the number.
Yeah, exactly.
and we have no idea why.
I will tell you that I chided audiences for years when the manager says we have to educate our customers. I said, let me explain something to you, bub. No customer is sitting by the phone with his hand over the phone going, sure hope that sales guy calls to to educate us because we're pretty fucking dumb over here.
Yeah. And okay, so I agree with that. But if I'm going to get help from a salesperson, I want their knowledge. I want their help.
I want genuine, unprejudiced knowledge. I want helpful knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you want it positioned in a particular way, right? I've got three teenagers. And even when they were little, they didn't like to be lectured any more than they do today. I'm sure you don't like to be lectured. And our buyers don't want to be lectured.
Mm-hmm.
Jen lectures me all the time.
No. What?
Sorry. Yeah.
No, think about it. My wife lectures me. But that's okay. That's acceptable. No, but we need to ask. This is back to where we started. We need to ask questions to help people think differently about the solutions they have or could have. Yeah, I'll give you another screwy one. I told you I'm in Minnesota, right?
Yes.
And you have probably not encountered a dynamic that we have here that's nowhere else in this country that I've ever heard of.
Mosquitoes.
Oh, worse than that. Every homeowner and every business has to contract for their own trash removal here.
Ooh.
Huh? Why?
Yeah, that's the way it's set up.
Free enterprise.
You see this. On Wednesday mornings, there's a parade of garbage trucks coming down my street representing every hauler you can imagine. Each one of them does the same thing. Pulls up to your home, an arm comes out from the truck, grabs the can, lifts it up, dumps the contents into the truck. Can goes down, truck drives away, you get an invoice at the end of the month. Well, CEO from one of these companies reached out to me, says, Lee, I believe we provide meaningful value that's different. We shouldn't have to fight over price. And I was intrigued. So they went through a sales differentiation program with me. And we discovered they had this service. It's called a can-be-clean truck. And twice a year, this truck follows the garbage truck and cleans your garbage cans.
Whoa. Brilliant. Right?
And they're the only ones in the state of Minnesota that offer that.
Wow.
Okay. But their salespeople didn't know how to have that conversation. So imagine you're getting a call or someone's knocking on your door to talk about your garbage. The only conversation you want to have is, if you save me a nickel, fine, you can have my account.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or a dime.
So we develop what I call a positioning question, open-ended question designed to help people think differently about the solutions they have or could have. Right after that salesperson introduces himself or herself, next thing out of their mouth, when's the last time you had your garbage cans cleaned? Because we know they never have unless they did it themselves. See, with salespeople, and this is back to what we're saying, that we know more than the people we're selling to about the world of solutions in our industry. In discovery meetings, we ask questions about pain or challenges that they're experiencing, the aspects that they perceive could be better or different. But if you agree we know more than they do, we have to ask questions designed to help them think differently about the solutions they have or could have. If you knocked on someone's door and said, hi, what are three things you'd like to have but you don't have with your current trash provider?
I'd punch you in the face.
Right. Well, they sure as hell aren't going to say, oh, I'd love it if someone cleaned my garbage cans, because you don't know it's out there.
Right. Wow.
And that's what's missing in discovery.
I love it.
I would ask not just when's the last time you had your garbage cans cleaned or have you ever, but I would say, what germs are in your empty garbage can that you don't know about?
Yeah, I'll give you one. You know, when they go to shake your hand, I'm not going to shake your hand because I know you're cleaning your own garbage cans.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, my God.
So, but
don't touch me.
You're onto it, and that disruptive question causes doubt in the mind of the customer, so much so that they're willing to listen to whatever you have to say next.
Correct.
That's big.
Mm-hmm.
Are they willing to listen after they've answered the question?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Hmm. That's cool.
So there's a tremendous amount of bullshit going on in the marketplace today. And the biggest disruptor, obviously, is Amazon, because people are reading reviews and people are looking at definitions and the ability to return in a way that they never have before. I can prime almost anything, and Charlotte has like 4 Amazon warehouses now. You can get it same day, next day for sure, but same day sometimes.
Yeah.
What scary time. How are you coaching sales leaders and sales teams to realize that their next competitor may be Amazon?
Yeah, and they better be ready for it, because Amazon every day seemingly is announcing a new way that they're creating their own disruption, right?
Yeah. So well, they're, half of a bundle is still a bundle, hopefully for Bezos.
Yeah. That's very true. My kids and I had an interesting conversation because, you know, he's ranked, you know, one of the most wealthy people in the world.
Yeah.
And I said, let me introduce him to half.
Right, exactly. The principle of half. What an idiot for such a brilliant guy.
Yeah, yeah. And then I heard over the weekend he attended some party without her. So,
yeah.
Exactly. Who knows where that's leading. But back to what we said before with the whole restaurant piece. It's the overall experience. You're not going to be able to beat Amazon on price. That's not going to happen. So you got to look at, first of all, is your product designed in the way, whatever it is, product, service, technology, doesn't matter. Is it designed in a way that is meaningfully different? Not just different. Like I do something called the sales differentiation minute, and I was wearing my wife's hat. Like, she has a sun hat from the beach. And I said, hey, I look different today. What's different? I've got this hat on. I said, does this provide meaningful value to you that I have this ridiculous hat on my head? Of course it doesn't. I tossed it away. But like, when we talk about, well, we have this patent on something. Okay, so you have a patent. Tell me why that matters to me.
Right.
So we get this precious amount of time, whether it be on the phone or face-to-face, and we talk about these things that don't matter to the buyer.
And in New York City, they call you on it in 1 second.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I got an Uncle Louie, yeah. And he can get me.
So what?
Right. That's exactly right.
Okay, but let's go back to that garbage truck example for a minute. Yeah. So,
it's a brilliant example, by the way.
It is brilliant in the sense that the company you were working with had a very clear, easy-to-understand differentiator. But what about the 98% of all other garbage truck companies that are seemingly the same? How do you advise their salespeople to differentiate themselves in the market? And the reason I ask that is not because we have so many diehards selling garbage right. services, but that they're working in industries where they might not even realize what their differentiator is or why it's so, how it's different.
They perceive themselves as a commodity.
Right. And so how do you advise people to figure out your differentiators?
So there's three components. There's differentiation around what you sell. There's differentiation around how you sell. And within how you sell, there's personal value differentiation. So maybe the company hasn't put together an effective strategy around what you're selling. Or you look at your process for how you're selling, say, well, there's really not a lot of value that we're providing right now. But every salesperson, whether you're new to sales or you've been doing it for an eternity, there's personal value that you bring to the table. And I find salespeople don't take that step back and think about the value they personally bring, because you're part of the package. When I contract with your company, I get you as part of the deal. So the question I ask salespeople is, so what?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What is the value? So becoming an expert in your industry so you can help me make informed buying decisions. That's meaningful. Being genuine. I tell you an interesting story. I had this woman that I hired many years ago, and she got pregnant about 6 months into the tenure.
Know it well.
Right? When she had her baby, she received gifts from all these Fortune 500 companies. They weren't doing a nickel of business with us yet. She created so much value in that first period of time she was with us. It was a long sales cycle. So much value that when she had the baby, they felt endeared to her.
That's cool.
Yeah. I built a sales team in the technology education space during the dot-com boom. And we had various sales forces, and one of them was designed for the career changer. Someone on the outside looking in saying, boy, I want to get in on this opportunity, have more career, and make more money. I could stack rank my salespeople for their career changer sale based on the use of one product. Any idea what it was?
Tell us.
Don't say toilet paper.
Dude,
close. Tissues.
Oh.
Wow.
My top salespeople, they recognized it was an emotional an emotional conversation. I'm getting verklempt over here.
Yeah.
they they recognized it was emotional because these people are coming to us, some of them deeply in debt. They wanted to start a family, buy a home, whatever it might be. And my top salespeople recognized the emotion side of it. And that's what made them so successful. They genuinely cared. And when these people went through these programs and they ultimately got the new job, the first phone call wasn't to their significant other when they got promoted. It was to their salesperson. Hey, Tony, thank you so much for helping me through this program. I really appreciate it. I just got a new job making exponentially more money. Thank you.
That's classic.
That's when you know you're doing it right.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. There's some questions that we can talk about when we hang out at Outbound. But I have always created questions that engage, involve, and endear.
Love it.
Engage, involve, and endear. I'm going to tweet that. So if you could write that down, that would be the greatest. But you have to do that. You have to ask questions that make the other person think and respond in terms of you.
That's right.
And have you ever heard of us is not one of those good questions.
No.
But we're overlooking something right now, and I think this is very important, and I talk about it in every seminar that I do. Salespeople are no longer invisible. When you walk into a sales call or a salesperson or you walk into a company to buy something and you're introduced to Bob Jones or you're going to go meet with Harry McGillicuddy, the first thing you're going to do is Google the guy.
Absolutely.
Not the company. The guy. And when I'm done Googling you, I'm going to look you up on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and every other social media form that I possibly can because I want to know who I'm doing business with.
Absolutely.
And in my laws book, I have a full-page quote that says, your customer wants to do business with a somebody, not a nobody.
Oh, I love that. Great line.
And the challenge for the salesperson is they still think they're invisible. They still think that they're living in this cocoon. Oh, no, the customer's going to Google the company. Bullshit, dude. I want to know who I'm doing business with.
And you better be careful what you're saying on your Facebook pages about the political climate, the economic climate, whatever it is, because trust me, it'll bite you in the ass.
Oh, yeah.
Don't take my word for it.
Oh, yeah.
Go to Virginia.
So, Lee, tell everyone the title of your book and where you'd like them to go get it because they have to get a copy of your latest book.
Well, thank you. It's titled Sales Differentiation, and it's available at your favorite brick and mortar bookstore. It's available on Amazon, your favorite online website to get it. And here's the thing. Wherever you buy the book, and I don't care where you do, you get yourself a copy, then go to salesdifferentiation.com. And click on the bonus flag, fill out the little form, and you'll get my sales differentiation video series. Normally, those are only available to my workshop clients, but I'm making that available to anyone who buys the book.
Cool. That's huge. We'll put that in the show notes as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
And what are you going to do to stay warm besides go to Florida?
Oh, I'm going to light a fire. Here's
in the middle of your living room.
I'm lighting it up.
There are a lot of books behind you, too.
So when we get to Atlanta, are we going early?
I don't know yet.
We'll have to figure it out. Let's have a meal or something like that.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Awesome. Yeah. Just hang out.
I haven't booked my travel schedule yet either for that, but yeah, that would be awesome.
All right, cool.
Are you ahead of me in ticket sales?
I didn't even look at the numbers. I have no idea.
Well, hey.
Well, I can tell you that you're not. Not that we're competitive here.
Oh, my God.
At all.
I'm not going up against the king. I know the way it works.
Okay. But listen, it's a pleasure to have someone to interact with who is not only intelligent about sales, but can transfer the message.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun and informative for our diehards, so thank you.
So Lee was trash talking. And I wanted But he gave an example of trash / garbage that I think every single salesperson can get because the idea of cleaning a garbage can to differentiate yourself from other garbage collectors is so obvious. That it's ridiculously obvious, yet none of the fucking brilliant people that had trash collection businesses ever thought about it.
Yeah.
Because they're too busy. They're too busy trying to make a nickel and skipping over the dollars.
Yeah. And I mean, there's you might be saying to yourself, well, that's great for them, but how would I do something that could differentiate us? Guys, you just need to think about it. Literally, you need to set aside time to think so that you can come up with these creative solutions. I mean, just let's take garbage cans for a second. You know what else would be a cool service besides cleaning them? Putting them back.
Yeah.
We don't only take your trash, we put your garbage can back by your garage so that you don't have to come out when it's dark after work to collect your trash can.
So what Lee did was, or what this garbage company did, was thought about what happens after the transaction takes place.
Mm-hmm.
What happens after the thing is done? What's the memorable part of doing this? So let's look at it for something simple like a hairdresser.
All right.
The best thing you can do is sell the best brush on the market or the best hand mirror on the market or the best comb on the market or the best spray shit for your hair.
Jeffrey, you don't even have any hair.
I know, but I'm pretending.
Well, again.
I'm in hair fantasy.
Theater of the mind. This is a podcast,
people. All right.
Wait a minute. Remember we had to buy that hairbrush for Gabrielle because she kept getting it tangled?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Which one? We bought a bunch.
Yeah, I know.
Actually, my cousin sells the best hairbrush on the planet.
So the challenge is, what happens after the sale? That's where to start your thinking, diehards. You have to look at this and say, okay, I just sold this guy this car. Now what can I do? I just sold these people new windows for their home. And now what can I do?
If you're really trying to figure out how to provide value, put yourself in their shoes as if you're the buyer, or pretend to be a buyer for a minute and collect the product or service and then figure out what would you want next.
Or use it yourself and figure out where the flaws are and figure out what the solution is.
Right.
It never ceases to amaze me that you see a new product on the marketplace, and I see all of them because I buy them on Instagram.
True story.
Like they have this Christmas tree wrap cutter. I mean, how many of you have ever cut with the scissors a piece of wrapping paper and you cut from China to Japan instead of from China to China? And it's so obvious. And they have this thing. It wraps around the tube. You push it to the end of the tube. It's a perfectly straight cut. Oh. Now, Christmas has been around for, a couple thousand years. Wouldn't you think somebody in 2,000 years would have got something?
You would think. Here's the thing.
But they did not. Somebody, some famous Chinese inventor, or I don't know where, it must be from China because that's where everything's made. But whatever it is, that's where the invention came from, and it's rocking.
I mean, it is a really cool thing.
They sell thousands and thousands of them. So this is a statement that I've been using in my seminars. The obvious is waiting to be invented. Your job is to be thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious. It's as obvious as those little sticks that you get in your Starbucks coffee. It took them 25 years to come up with that. People were spilling coffee all over themselves for 25 years until finally one of their customers, now a very wealthy customer, suggested that that's what they do.
Remember when you used to have to, they used to tape it closed?
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, that was even Scotch worse. Tape, yeah.
Like, or they put two things on it,
yeah,
two lids.
Yeah, exactly. That
the
was
New
bad.
York and people then, put
yeah.
two lids on it.
Yeah. All right. So this has been another amazing Sell or Die episode. Coming up this week, we have a Sell or Die Extra on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we have Greg Crumpton, who actually was here live with us in the studio.
In the studio.
In Charlotte.
Love Greg.
Yeah, he's great. And then on Friday, we have a best of episode where we take the best of and piece it all together.
We don't take it. Kanata takes it.
That's right.
That's true.
And then he takes the best of and he goes, damn, this is damn. Let's use this one. Damn.
it's a struggle picking every single piece of Sell or Die. Extra.
No argument with that.
I'm sure.
And for those of you who do not know that damn is a two-syllable word,
it's because
you never lived in the South.
So anyway, we are out.
We're gone, and we're thanking you for subscribing.
Yes.
Unless you don't subscribe, And then we're cursing you for not subscribing.
No, we're not cursing you. We are thanking you in advance.
No, I'm saying WTF,
subscribe. All right, subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star review if you loved what you heard. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, and I'm reminding you to get out there, buy the Sales Manifesto, buy Sales in a New York Minute, and make a sale, even if your ass falls off.
Sell or die hard. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.